Today, as we look at the Word of God, you don't want to get left behind when it comes to hearing God's Word. This message today is probably going to be a two-part message. I already know it is because of the direction of what God is putting on my heart today. But just as we look at questions for Jesus, one of the questions the youth asked was, what is true love? What is real love? We have the television telling us that real love is doing whatever feels good. We have peer pressure all around us on all sides, at school and at work, to say that love is just simply a physical thing, a sexual thing. But I want to say today is that we all, I know if we were all to stand up here and admit, we'd say, I just need to be loved. Don't we? We need to be loved in the deepest part of our being. And we're searching for love. In these corrupt forms of love that the world portrays to us, it's simply because they're searching. God put within us a desire to search for love because He loves us so much. Now, this picture, I want you to picture for a moment that God is so perfect and holy, He can't tolerate any of our sin. Anybody in here sinned before? Mess up. If you don't raise your hand, I'll come over and we'll find out. Yeah. Okay, there we go. Okay, let's make sure back there. You know, God's wrath, His anger was poured out against us because of our sin. And He says, I can't let you into heaven. I have to send you to this place separated from me called hell. But that same God said, I'm going to come up with a plan to redeem you. I'm going to come up with a plan to bring you back to myself because I love you so much. Yes, the punishment has to be paid for our sins. There's no sin on the earth that's not going to be punished. Jesus willingly stepped in and took our punishment for us. So God said, I'm satisfied with that. Jesus took the punishment for you. And I want to say today, we will never be able to walk in true love or understand what real love is until we bring ourselves and allow ourselves to come to that place where we say, Jesus, come on in. I need your love. Jesus, I see you on the cross stretching out your arms saying, Father, forgive them for they don't know what they're doing. Is that love, a dying love, that He would leave the glory of heaven and shed His blood for us and go through the suffering and the torture and the pain of having God forsake Him and turn His back on the Son. He did it for you and me. Folks, I think, you know, why we have communion is because we so quickly forget how precious the blood of Jesus is. We so quickly forget how wonderful the love of God is for each and every one of us. I want to begin by reading in Ephesians, and he ends this chapter by talking about we're sealed by the Holy Spirit and put away these things. But he says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. If we want to discover what true love is today, if we want to stay in that true love, it all rests in what Jesus did, is what we celebrated today in communion. True love is defined by the source of all love, which is God Himself. So if we're going to learn true love, we have to imitate God. And that's a continuous following of God. You know what? Imitating God is the highest standard in the world. Now, we want to imitate our work, our co-workers, or our friends at school, because they put pressure on us to imitate us. Because what they're doing, perhaps they might have a sense of guilt that they know that it's wrong what they're doing, but if they can get everybody to join in with them, then they don't feel so bad about it because everybody's doing it. And when you choose not to settle for those false forms of love, they're going to make fun of you. They're going to look at you as weird, as different. But we have to wait up and back up and say, well, how do we know what love is? Can we trace it back to the God who created the universe and not your friend that was born, you know, a couple years ago or a few more than a couple years ago if you're in high school? God's love goes beyond what the world has painted a picture of it is. And folks, if we forget everything, this one thing we have to remember is the depth of the love of God. The reason why so many of us, including myself, struggle on a daily basis is that we have not realized, we have not received the power of the love of God. Oh yes, we believe that Jesus died and rose again. We might be saved, but I'm talking about experiencing the fullness of it in every area of our hearts. Because you see, we all experience bad things in our lives. We experience people taking advantage of us. We experience people using us. We've all had friends and family members that have let us down and has hurt us so, so deeply. And we're carrying around all these things, and I like to call them walls. We put up walls to be even to be able to receive love from other people. Now, I want you to pay attention to this phrase. He says, therefore, as imitators of God, he says, as what? Beloved children. Live a life of love. You say, I know all of you would raise your hand and say, yes, I want to live a life of love. You'll never be able to do it unless you get the as beloved children part. You'll never be able to understand and grip the reality of what real love is. You'll be searching and going all over the place and going here and going there until you read, as beloved children, as dearly loved children of God. So if we're going to learn true God, we have to imitate true love. We have to imitate God. He's the source of love. And if we're going to learn true love, we have to turn around and walk out what Jesus does for us on the cross. Now, think about this. This becomes so cliche, doesn't it? Yeah, Jesus gave His life for me. But when you think of it in light of eternity, that we would have to spend eternity separated from this God that loves us so much, the fact that Jesus offered Himself as a sacrifice, He says, not just a sacrifice, but a fragrant sacrifice, and that is the odor of satisfaction emitted by death. That's a big word called Christ's propitiation, which means He satisfied God's demand for justice and turned away God's anger or wrath by His perfect, adequate offering of Himself for our sins. He forgives us. Now, the world says, love is what I feel. I like cheese, so I'm going to become friends with the person that owns the cheese shop. And I'm going to be nice to them in hopes that they'll give me some cheese for free. Right? I'm going to become so-and-so's friend because they have achieved a level of popularity, of seeming popularity at school. They're the cool people. So I'm going to be nice to them so that I can get somewhere that I can raise my social status. Or we can turn it around in the other way. I'm going to make fun of other people that are doing the right things so I can raise myself up and feel justified in what I'm doing. But you see, folks, this is not about browbeating. It's about what Jesus did for us. It's about as dearly loved children. See, we get into those things. The reason why we get caught up in those things and we adopt false forms of love is that we don't realize how deeply we're loved by God. I mean, seriously. You mean that when I did this, this, and this, and this, that I felt so much guilt and shame in my life, Jesus would just kind of gently walk in and sit down and put His arm around me and say, I love you. I forgive you. Will you receive it? Will you take down your walls and allow me to let you experience what the true depth of love really is? Because chances are, relationships, there's not a single relationship on this earth that can satisfy those deepest needs. People are going to let you down. Even our closest friends and family, they're going to let you down. In fact, Jesus, when He was on the earth, it says He entrusted Himself to no one. Because He knows the nature, what's in man, what's in humans. So what can we learn from the death of Jesus Christ about love? Love, first and foremost, is focused on benefiting others. You don't find Jesus saying, yeah, I'll go and dry and become a criminal and have a criminal's death and be humiliated in front of everybody to make Himself be benefited in any way. There is no benefit to Him at all in that. But He was thinking of you. He was thinking of me to benefit us. And so when you're going and you're trying to learn how to practice love, always remember this thing. Is it to benefit me? Or is it to benefit someone else? Is it going to build them up? Is it going to make their life better? Or is it going to cause them to be emotionally disturbed and distraught? Isn't it going to cause issues in their future, in their life? Especially young people, if you might be dating and you might be out with different people and you're in a relationship and you just think, you know, that first day is like, oh, I love them and I'm going to be with them for the rest of my life. This is the one. Well, there's different girls that I thought that of, and I didn't marry them. There was another Tanya in college at Moody. I didn't marry her because she wasn't the right one. But I did not settle to give them the gift that God has given me in the depth of what God has called us in marriage. Love is benefiting of other people. It thinks of their future. It gives without expecting anything in return. I just know, you know, I always think of the mafia, but I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. We have that nature within us, don't we? That I will do this for you if you do this for me. There is no bargaining at the cross of Jesus Christ. There's no bargain. In fact, if anybody has a testimony that they made a bargain with God, God, if you do this in my life, then I'll serve you through the rest of life. That's not how it works. It's a free gift. Because true love gives without expecting anything in return. Jesus didn't say, could you help me here? This cross is a little too much. Why don't you take some of the responsibility for your sin and take just a little punishment? Why don't you just take one lash of the whip for your sin? He didn't do that. He did it all. He paid it all. And that's the depth of real love. It's sacrificial. It forgives. And it's rooted in the fact that we are doing it for God, that we're obeying Him, that we're loving Him. We love others because we're doing it to obey God. Why? Because He first loved us so deeply. And we get it so backwards in the Christian world, especially in religious settings, don't we? It's like, I'm going to obey God and so God will love me. I'm going to talk to God so God will love me. I'm going to go to church so God will love me. I'm going to read and memorize the whole Bible so God will love me. It doesn't work that way. God loves you. He says, as beloved children. And we wonder why we have a difficult time learning love and why there's all these bad things that happen in the church today and people are judgmental and people are nasty and people get caught up in false teachings and all kinds of stuff. We wonder why that is. It's because we haven't realized the depth of the love of Jesus Christ. We're still trying to earn God's love. Still trying to earn His favor. Still trying to climb the ladder to get into heaven. When we realize it's all grace, it's rooted in, I'm going to please God because of your love. And then true love is commitment put into action. And I love this verse. You know, sometimes I have people and friends will say, I love you, Mike. I love you, buddy. And then they turn around and their actions show the opposite of that. So I always think of this verse, and I'm sure I've done that many times to other people. It says, little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And Jesus didn't say, yeah, I'm going to die on the cross for your sins. He did it. Yeah, I'm going to sacrifice my life for you as a friend. I am here to serve you and love you as a sister or brother in Jesus Christ. And then not do it. Or I'm going to pray for you today. And then not do it. Because love is an action. It's a commitment to someone else. Now, this is what I want to focus on today, and we're not going to get into anything else today because I believe this is so key. This is so important. This is how the Holy Spirit's been leading in the songs and in our worship time and in our prayer room and prayer time. We really need some people to come and pray in our prayer room to love on Jesus, to pray for our service today. But God spoke through the prayers. I could hear it. This one line, beloved children, as dearly loved, see, we'll be unable to give or receive true love. And that was the question that the young people asked. How can I learn to receive love? Now, that sounds like a silly question at first, doesn't it? Surely all of us in here want to receive love, right? But you know what I found myself doing? Jesus says to love others as you love yourself. If you don't have a firm grip of love for yourself, which is rooted in the fact that God created you and loved you dearly, you will not be able to receive love for others. And that's when the invisible walls start to go up in our lives. We put up walls. Yes, I really want to have a deep friendship with this person, and I really want to be involved in community in their life, but then all of a sudden, the wall goes up. It's like, Terry, I'm just reaching out my hand to shake her hand, and then the wall goes up. I'm reaching out to give you a hug and embrace you and become your friend, and then you get scared and nervous and a wall goes up because of the hurt that you've experienced, that I've experienced in our past life and growing up, unfortunate home circumstances. We go to give love and then we're like, boom, we run into the wall. Do you get that? Do you see that? He says, as dearly loved children, live a life of love. We'll never be able to understand true love until we invite the Holy Spirit in to make those walls fall down. Sometimes we realize, you know, and I know in churches, and I've done this myself before, it's like they're not very friendly here. I reached out and they didn't talk to me back. But, you know, the problem is that I don't love myself. I didn't receive God's love myself. So now I'm wanting love from people, but my walls are going up and I don't realize it. So it's not them, it's me. People love, and people have reached out to me. Perhaps many have reached out to you in your life. Boom, the wall goes up. And you say, well, those people just aren't very friendly. They're not very talkative. They don't care what I'm going through. But you know what? We put up walls. We start to open up and share, and then we shut down. This is where we need to invite Jesus as dearly loved children. Do you know how much God loves you? That's why Paul prays this prayer. God, help us to understand how high, how wide, how deep your love is. We need to pray spiritually to be able to comprehend the love God has for us. Let it go. Let the river of the blood of Jesus Christ wash you clean of those wounds and those iniquities. Man, I didn't wear my steel toes today. We must realize the power of God's forgiveness and receiving Christ's sacrificial love. We're all sinners under God's wrath and we need His forgiveness, but to realize it's been offered to us. Are we still living like it hasn't been offered? Are we still putting up walls? And we try to go and love people, but we just can't do it because our walls go up and we don't even know it and we don't even realize it. We must realize the power of receiving God's forgiveness and be aware of it. If we're not forgiving in our love, we really do not know the extent of God's forgiveness of us. And we must realize the power of receiving God's affection as His own favorite child. And there's the word beloved. It means esteemed, favorite, worthy of love. Here's what I want you to say today. With confidence, because this is the word of truth. I'm Dad's favorite. Can you say that? Do you feel guilty about saying that? That's what beloved is. I'm Dad's favorite. Come on, just say it. One, two, three.
I'm Dad's favorite.
You know, there's a little bit of shakiness. One, two, three. And here's what I want you to shout at the top of your lungs. I'm worthy of God's love!
I'm worthy of God's love.
Well, that's not like when you be at a ball game or something like that. But do you really believe that you are worthy of God's love today? Do you really grasp that? I mean, you know, God has to come up and slap me upside the head and say, listen, Mike! Listen, Mike! I love you so much. You're worthy. You're worthy. You know why there's so many distorted forms of love? And we're going to talk about the forms of fake love next week. It's because we don't believe we're worthy of God's love. We're not living our life as beloved children of God, as Dad's favorite. When a true follower of Jesus receives God's love, and here's what's going to happen, and this is what I'm going to close with today because I think this is all we need to process and think about today, is that when we receive God's love, when we finally take the walls down, we will be able to freely and continuously offer forgiveness to others. Why is it that I have a hard time forgiving people that have wronged me and hurt me in past relationships? It's because I'm insecure in my love for God. I haven't realized how much God loves me. And when I open myself up to receive that love from Him, I'll be able to forgive them no problem. Because whether they ever make things right with me or not, I have a Father who loves me, and that's all that matters in eternity. It's all that matters in His books. The second thing is that they're going to be free to continue to love others without expecting anything in return because they're confident and secure in God's love. Well, I just, you know, I've done it myself. I slaved all week to get ready for this outreach ministry, and then all they do is complain. Or, I just served God in the church and then nobody even noticed or patted me on the back for doing it. You're not doing it for each other. I'm not doing it for you. I'm not even preaching and being a pastor for you. I'm doing it for God. And I forget that sometimes. And He loves it. What you do for Him, He loves it. But the moment you start to say, what am I going to get in return? And you start to try to check to see if other people are loving it. Because chances are a lot of people aren't going to love it when you serve God. That's just the way it is. Even in the church, people are going to be jealous and of your talents and your gifts and things like that. But who cares? Because you are His favorite. Your Dad's favorite. Third, those that receive God's love will freely and continuously give love even when it requires a sacrifice. Girl, I ain't doing anything for her because, you know, last week she gossiped about me. Mm-mm. I'm not going to bail her out of that problem. Mm-mm. Yes, I wasn't going to do that, but she did that very well back there. How many times have we done that? But you know, when we receive God's love, it doesn't matter whether they called us name. It doesn't matter whether they rejected us. It doesn't matter if they made fun of us because we decided to follow God's will and not their will and what they think is right. I'm secure and confident in God's love, even when it hurts. And sometimes it does hurt to love somebody. Man, they just got done kicking me. And you mean now they're stuck out in the field and I got to get my tractor out and help them get out of that place? You got to be kidding me. But if I am so confident and full of God's love, it's going to be no problem. Go and let them out. Help them out. But we have to receive God's love first. If you don't receive it, you can't give it. The last of all, we'll be able to receive love from others without putting up walls. Let me share just something in closing today. You may not be surprised. I've had a long journey of my walk with the Lord when I first came to know Christ when I was young and then went to college. But, you know, I used to have such a negative view that I felt even guilty coming to shake a brother's hand, like I'm not worthy of love in any way. I would stiffen, you know, and I'd give, you know, people would give hugs at church and any of those stiff kind of huggers, you know, you're like, I'm not worthy of just taking it all in. You know, God began to work in that area in my life, and you know what? When those walls get taken down, it feels so good to be free, because you know that you're so loved by God that you can give love out, and whether people receive it or not, because a lot of times they're not going to receive it. In fact, they're going to spit in your face like they did Jesus. But you can keep on giving it because you're so rooted in the fact that you're dad's favorite. That's it. Now I want you to go home today. And I want you to spend some time with Jesus, whether on the road, and say, Jesus, show me. I dare you. Jesus, show me the walls that are up in my life. Show me what keeps me from having fruitful friendships with my brothers and sisters at church. Show me what keeps my guard up. And I want you to just say, Jesus, just come love on me. Start singing, I love you, Lord. Listen to His response. I love you. Put your name in the blank. Because, you know, as we're singing these songs this morning, as Jesus walks in the room in that gentleness, I love you. You can let your guard down. It's safe. Other people might not be safe, but Jesus is safe. Father, we thank You so much for Your love and grace that You have for us. And Lord, I pray that this word would just get beyond the human flesh and get beyond what is in our intellect. Get beyond our giddiness. Get beyond our avoiding it. And get to the heart. Get to those rooms that we've locked off and sealed off for years. We invite the power of Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come into this place, into each of our hearts, As Paul says, we want to know you in the power of your resurrection and the fellowship of entering into your sufferings. To learn to love as you loved. Lord, we need your help. Thank you, Lord. I want to encourage you as we sing this last song today, if you need prayer this morning, if there's some walls that you're saying, yep, they definitely got to come down, sometimes it helps when some other people pray over you. And there's a release and a forgiveness that can happen through the laying on.